This is the last Sunday that part of my sermon is based on the book by Adam Hamilton, Faithful Christmas Through the Eyes of Joseph. It has been a wonderful study because a lot of times Joseph is neglected in the Christmas story, and this season our eyes have been upon him. And you know, I forgot to point out this beautiful window over here is a great picture of Joseph, Mary, and they're holding their baby Jesus up like this, holding the baby up to God as they look down with love upon him. And I just was focusing on that and meditating on that a moment ago. I wanted to call it to your attention because I wish I'd mentioned it earlier, but it's a beautiful depiction of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. Have you ever journeyed to the home of a king? Well, I did. I didn't plan on going there. Another minister from Louisiana and I had attended a training conference in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Christ United Methodist Church. And since we had some free time one afternoon from our training, it was suggested that we go and visit Graceland, the home of the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. Now, I have loved Elvis since I was 6 years old and heard his music and watched his movies with my family at the local drive-in theater. My parents would pack us all up. We had a Rambler. They would put pallets in the back, so if we fell asleep watching the movie, it would be all right. But I saw every Elvis movie at that little drive-in theater when I was a kid. I never dreamed I would have the chance to go see his home. He's buried between his parents on the property, and there's also a stone placed there in memory of his twin brother, who died at birth. Some of you I have told this to before, but a few years ago, probably about 15 years ago, we found out that my husband's great-grandfather was the country doctor who delivered Elvis and his brother at the home of the Presleys in Tupelo, Mississippi. I always admired Elvis's talents and the gifts of music that he brought to the world. But I felt sorry for him as a person because, unfortunately, his addictions brought him great pain and destruction. Sometimes we take a spontaneous journey, a side trip, to go see something that's interesting or appealing to us. Today, we have it very easy. We can drive long distances, take a bus, a train, a plane, or a boat. We have a GPS to guide us on our way. If we get lost, we can be found by a satellite or a cell tower. But in the day and time of Jesus, journeys were extremely difficult and dangerous. Most people had to walk everywhere they went. A donkey or a camel was a luxury, but they were helpful in long-distance journeys. Boats were available, but they were very dangerous because there were many, many shipwrecks and the navigation systems were very primitive. Adam Hamilton speculates that it probably took the wise men about 60 days to arrive from Persia to Bethlehem. 2 months riding on a camel or walking. Can you imagine? They came from a different religion and from a different country. They had to make very specific plans to make such a long journey. They even packed gifts to give to this newborn king. Their purpose for making this trip was to find the king and to worship him, to give him respect and honor. When they began their journey, they didn't even know exactly where Jesus was located. They also did not know how their visit would be received. After all, they were strangers, foreigners. Even with all those challenges before them, potential barriers, they were determined to complete their journey. I admire them for their courage and their strength. They made quite a sacrifice to go and worship this foreign king that they did not even know. The gifts they brought with them were extremely valuable. It's a beautiful story of mystery and wonder, of worship and awe. Can you imagine how Joseph and Mary must have reacted when this entourage greeted them and said that they wanted to meet Jesus and to worship him? Probably about as shocked as the day the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, "You have found favor with God. You have been chosen to be the mother of the Savior of the world." God is always full of surprises. We should never underestimate what God has up God's sleeve. Adam Hamilton points out that God went to a lot of trouble to invite people from a different religion to come and meet Jesus. He suggests that this has a lot of relevance for our world today. We can show other people respect, even when their religion is different from us. We can accomplish more of God's will in the world for peace on earth. Why is it that we human beings think we have to be hostile to people from other nations or other places or other religions? The angels gave the message from God. God desires peace on the earth and goodwill to all of the people. Many of us get our Christmas facts from Christmas cards, nativity sets, and carols. But many times, those really don't have the facts. Most of the nativity sets have the Magi, just like our beautiful nativity set, visiting Jesus at the same time as the night shift shepherds. But that's not how it happened, according to Matthew and Luke. It may have been up to 2 years after Christ was born before the Magi arrived to worship. The scripture says the Magi entered the house, not the stable, not the barnyard, not the animals, the house, not with the baby, but where the child was living with Mary and Joseph. The Magi had gone first to Jerusalem, probably assuming that the king would have been born in Jerusalem because that was such an important history, such an important city in the history of Israel. But after consulting with the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees of King Herod, they suggested that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, a great king in the history of Israel. So the Magi had stopped innocently asking for the location of Jesus, trying to find him as soon as they could. But they had no idea that the implications of their innocent question could have. King Herod, the scripture says, was very upset, terrified. Disturbed is another word, in hearing that a new king was coming. Herod was such a ruthless, power-greedy ruler that he had 3 of his own sons executed to keep them from becoming the next king and taking his place as a ruler. Some leaders in that day and time said that you were better off if you were King Herod's pig than if you were one of his sons. Some things do not change. As we look around the world, we see many examples today of power-hungry rulers who will stop at nothing to be rich and in control, not caring about the masses of people who suffer under their regimes. Greed leads to destruction. The Magi did not do anything wrong by asking their questions to locate Jesus. It was King Herod's response that brought forth evil. He ordered for all of the babies under 2 years of age in Bethlehem to be killed. William Barclay, in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew, explores the different reactions of the characters in this story to Jesus. He describes the reaction of King Herod as that, quote, of hatred and hostility. Herod was afraid that this little child was going to interfere with his life, his place, his power, his influence, and therefore his first instinct was to destroy him. The one whose one desire is to do what he likes has never any use for Jesus. The Christian is the one who has ceased to do what he or she likes and who has dedicated his or her life to do as Christ likes. Secondly, there was the reaction of the chief priests and scribes, the religious leaders in King Herod's court. Their reaction was in complete indifference. It didn't make the slightest difference to them that the Messiah, whom they had been waiting for centuries, had been born. You would have think they would have said, oh, let's go with the wise men. We want to be the first ones there to worship him. No, they were so engrossed in their rituals and their discussions that they simply disregarded Jesus. He meant nothing to them. Barclay states there are still those who are so interested in their own affairs that Jesus Christ means nothing to them. Third, there was the reaction of the wise men, the reaction of adoring worship, the desire to lay at the feet of Christ the noblest gifts that they could bring. Surely, when anyone realizes the love of God that is brought forth in Christ, he or she too should be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Unquote. Matthew tells us that the wise men were overwhelmed with joy when they finally arrived at their destination and were able to meet Jesus and to worship him. So many times we get into the habit of coming to church, of enjoying our routine of Sunday morning worship. But are we ever overwhelmed with joy when we encounter the living Christ here in the sanctuary? Are we enthusiastic about our faith in Christ anymore? Are we eager to share with others the love and grace of Jesus to our community? What is our reaction to Jesus in our daily lives? Adam Hamilton offers a description in his book of different kinds of Christians. Quote, there are fair weather Christians. If the weather's not too bad, or for that matter, not too nice, and if their favorite ball team isn't playing within an hour of the time the church will be out, there's a chance that they'll join us for worship. Then there are the folks who are faithful in worship, but never internalize the good news, and it has little impact upon them. And then there are those Christians whose faith runs deep, who daily offer themselves to Christ, who are being shaped by the Holy Spirit. Their lives reflect their faith in all that they do. Unquote. Joseph was a man like that, a man who lived his faith, who trusted in God, who obeyed God's will, even when he did not understand it or didn't know where God was going to lead him next. I'm sure that going to Egypt to keep Jesus safe from King Herod's evil intent to kill him was not on Joseph's bucket list. It was a very difficult journey, very spontaneous. They hadn't planned to go to Egypt to a foreign country as refugees. They were political refugees fleeing for their lives. They had to sacrifice so much in order to keep Jesus safe. There might have been days when Joseph and Mary complained to God, lamented their plight. But if they did, we know that in spite of the suffering they endured, they still were faithful in carrying out God's plans for the salvation of the world. Have you ever wondered why the wise men set out on such a journey? Why Abraham followed God when God said, "Come with me and I will show you where you're going." And he stepped out and packed his bags and followed God's leadership. What were the wise men hoping to find? Hamilton talks about how much fun it is to play hide and seek with his grandchild, his little granddaughter. Young children love to play that game until the parents are exhausted. They love to be found by their parents, their loved ones. Hamilton points out that it's true that we go on difficult journeys looking for God. We long for that connection with our Creator. We want to know as human beings that we are not alone in the universe. And he says it's true that God goes searching for us as well. The Word became flesh and lived among us so that God could communicate to humans the profound love that God has for us. God came searching for us as God's children, and God delights when we are found. Jesus taught there is great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes home to God, when a person turns away from evil and turns toward God and seeks to live a life of righteousness, a life committed to following Christ. When we look at the relationships that Jesus formed with Peter, James, John, Mary Magdalene, Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, just to name a few, we see the depth of love that Jesus has for them and consequently for us. Jesus taught them how to live according to the will of God. Jesus modeled the spiritual life for them and for us. And when they made terrible mistakes and messed up, Jesus kept on loving them, kept on choosing them to do God's work on the earth. This is the good news of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to find us and to bring us close to God. God wants us close so that God can show us the incredible, amazing love that God has for us. It's true the wise men traveled a long way to worship the King. But Jesus traveled even farther from heaven to earth to offer us redemption. God came looking for us, and God has found us. And we, like the Magi, are we ready to take the journey? Are we ready to worship the King? Are we overcome with joy to serve Christ as our Lord? How far are we willing to go? The journey can be long and unpredictable. It can be sacrificial. But I can guarantee one thing. The journey to Christ is worth it. It's worth every step that we take. I love that old hymn. Softly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Come home, come home, come home to God. Amen.